Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
In an Australian hospital around 15 years ago, a little baby girl was born very early, well before the time when she should have been. She was placed in a specially warmed box, given oxygen to breathe and liquid food through a feeding tube. Each day the nurses cared for her needs. To help the baby keep warm, the nurses put a little cap on the baby's head. This little girl didn't like the cap and didn't want to wear it. Young and feeble as she was, she communicated this clearly to the nurses. So they folded the cap and put it at the top of her head instead. After months of growing in this box, the baby gained enough weight to be able to live like a normal full-term baby. Sadly, though, not all babies born too early survive. It's a source of great sorrow to a mother when her little one dies. Sometimes the mother is racked with guilt. She wonders how she might have done things differently so her little one could have lived. Often there is no easy answer to this question, and the mother carries her grief all her life. Nathan the prophet visited David and told him that Bathsheba's baby would die. David prayed fervently to God, hoping that he might spare the child.
Your Majesty, Nathan the prophet requests an audience.
We mustn't refuse the prophet of God, scribe. Audience granted.
May you live forever, Your Majesty.
I presume you came on a specific mission?
The Lord God of Israel sent me, Your Majesty.
Yes?
Thou, O King, art kind and just and understanding. I wish to relate to His Majesty a story and receive his advice.
Oh, well, say on.
There were two men in one city, O King. The one rich, the other poor. For he had nothing except one little ewe lamb. And the little lamb became a pet to the man and his children. And there came a traveler to the rich man's house. And the rich man prepared him meat. But instead of using one of his many sheep, he took the poor man's pet lamb and slew it and served it to the traveler.
As the Lord liveth, the rich man that has done this thing deserves to die. He shall restore the lamb fourfold to the poor man, because he had no mercy or pity.
You are this man, O King.
I am he? The rich man?
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. I delivered you from the anger of Saul. I gave you the crown of Israel and of Judah. If you had needed more, I would have given it to you. Therefore, why have you despised the commandment of God and done evil in his sight? You have killed Uriah with a sword and have taken his wife to be your wife. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house. Evil shall also raise up against you out of your own house.
I have sinned against the Lord. I must ask God to forgive me.
The Lord will forgive your sin. You shall not die. But the consequences of the sin cannot be undone. Because of this deed, you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Therefore, the first child born to you and Bathsheba shall surely die. Know this, David. The wages of sin is death. Long live the king.
Scribe, I shall retire to my private chambers. I am not to be disturbed.
Oh, the child is sick.
The wages of sin.
What?
This child, our firstborn, he's paying the penalty of my sin.
He is going to die because of your sin.
While there's still life in the little fellow, I shall pray unto God to spare his life. I shall fast and lie upon the earth, Perhaps God will be gracious to me and the child not die.
But David, it's been 7 days since our child became ill. For 7 days you have fasted and lain upon the earth. Why continue this folly?
Oh, Lord God of heaven, forgive her, for she knows not what she says. And be gracious unto me, the chief of sinners. And visit not my iniquity upon the child, for he is innocent. It is I who am guilty of great sin. I should receive punishment for mine. Scribe, come here.
Long live the king.
I notice some of the court members whispering among themselves. Is it my child? Is he dead?
He is dead, your majesty.
Scribe, go and bring me clean clothes, a basin of water, and the anointing solution. Also bring me some food.
Yes, your majesty, but well, while your child still lived, you fasted and wept. Now that the child is dead, you wipe away your tears and arise and eat. Why?
While the child was yet alive, I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious unto me, that the child may live and not die? But now he is dead. Should I continue to fast? Can I bring him back again? No. I said I must restore fourfold, and this is the first. Bathsheba, my influence upon Israel, and especially upon my own household, my own family is gone. The results of my sin are sure. I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
For months after Uriah's death, David kept his sin hidden. God took a disciplinary role with David, one that David never forgot. After grieving much, David wrote Psalm 32 about this bad time in his life. When I did not confess my sins, I was worn out from crying all day long. Day and night you punished me, Lord. My strength was completely drained. Then I confessed my sins to you. I did not conceal my wrongdoings. I decided to confess them to you, and you forgave all my sins. God gave David opportunity for repentance, but at first he refused to admit his sin of adultery with Bathsheba and the murder of Bathsheba's husband Uriah. God's discipline is proof that he loves us. Our yielding and repentance to God proves our love and loyalty to him. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says to pay attention when the Lord corrects you, and do not be discouraged when he rebukes you, because the Lord corrects everyone he loves and punishes everyone he accepts as a child. In Proverbs chapter 28, it says, you'll never succeed in life if you try to hide your sins. Confess them and give them up. Then God will show mercy to you. Always obey the Lord, and you'll be happy. If you are stubborn, you will be ruined. Because David had hidden his sin for so long, Nathan used a parable to help David to listen and understand what he'd done. This worked. By the end of Nathan's story, David was angry at the unmerciful action of the rich man who had stolen his poor neighbor's only sheep. From this, David pronounced his own punishment. One of the Israelite laws was about restitution. If a thief had stolen someone else's property, he had to restore it back to the owner, plus some extra money. The amount of the extra that had to be returned depended on what had been taken. You can read about such cases in the Bible book of Exodus chapter 22. The loss of a sheep, as in Nathan's story, required restoring double. But David, in his anger at the rich man's injustice, declared that the rich man had to restore four times as much. And this became David's punishment, which affected his own family. In the next 6 or 7 years, Bathsheba's son had died, David's daughter was raped, and two of his sons were killed. In the first letter of John, chapter 1, it says, "If we confess our sins to God, he'll keep his promise and do what is right. He'll forgive us of our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing." This great promise is not an excuse that allows us to sin. And once a sin is forgiven, there may still be years of pain caused by the consequences of that forgiven sin. After years of self-importance, King David was humbled by the road of repentance, and he came back to God for forgiveness of his sin. David's sin had become a barrier with God for both himself and his people. God was no longer bringing success to the Israelite army in the way that he had before. The war with the Ammonites dragged on and on, whereas many of David's earlier battles had been settled victoriously within a day or two. Some people may sit in judgment about David's sin. How could he do such a thing? But with God, all sin is sin, including ours. There's no difference between the big sins and the small ones, or any that we can treat more lightly and brush away as unimportant. All sin causes separation from God. However, sexual sin creates deep problems for people. It hurts the people directly involved as they sin against themselves. In Proverbs chapter 6 it says, "Can you walk on hot coals without burning your feet? It is just as dangerous to sleep with another man's wife. Unless repented of, sexual sin prevents a person from being right with God and going to heaven." David wrote Psalm 51 as a prayer for forgiveness. The words, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," have been a consolation to many a sorrowing believer repenting to the Lord Jesus. After David confessed his sin, God forgave him. God was pleased David had turned back to him. In time, Bathsheba had another baby boy. The scriptures say God loved this little boy. His name was Solomon. After David's sorrow over his sin and confession, God gave David victory over all the Ammonite cities, and the Ammonite king's crown was placed on David's head. Have you become aware of some sin in your life? Sin is a word that covers a large number of rebellious acts and thoughts against God. It also includes all the good things that we do to earn favor with God. Only Christ is the way to God. Our good works without Christ's lordship in our lives are like filthy rags in God's sight. God knows our hidden motivations, and whatever is not pure before him falls short of God's heavenly standards. Sin is such a terrible thing. It cost the Lord Jesus Christ everything to make us right with God. Separation from his Father, God in heaven, his own good standing among earthly people, and his whole life. Jesus took the world's sin on himself to make a way for people to enter into a right relationship with God and continually live this way. Don't treat sin as a light matter. Tell God all about it, reject it, forsake it, and don't give yourself an opportunity to return to it. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's a warning for those who have tasted Christ's forgiveness for their sin, but then turn back to their wickedness. This backtracking holds the Lord Jesus in contempt and public disgrace. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, "There is no further sacrifice for such sins. If God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you now about your walk with him, confess all your sin to him. Beg for his mercy, and let him lead you through his Spirit to do what honors him the most. In all that God has done for you, rejoice and be thankful. From a heart that is clean, give praise to his glorious name." The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time. Jesus is